Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back. It is Lamed Tishrei, and this is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Good Chodesh to everybody. Welcome back. It's Tavshin Pei Gimel of the year. And this is also Rosh Chodesh, as we said. It's our 19th Lanhar, 19th Vod from this series, and it's October 25th, 2022. We're going to now remind ourselves of something that we talked about probably in the second and the third of our gatherings. There was somebody in Tanakh, and our topic is falling and then rising again with Bitachon. Who was the person in Tanakh who fell apart totally, he and his men, and then they gathered themselves together? Who was that person? And then they asked of the Urim V'Tumim, they asked the divine guidance what they should do, but only after they were able to pull themselves together, they were only then could they ask Hashem to help them, and that person was David HaMelech, as you know. It occurred to me that there's a sforno in Chumash that shows us there's a person in Chumash who experienced the same thing hundreds of years earlier, and as an introduction to the next segment of our gatherings, of our Bitachon Vod, I wanted to go through the parsha a little bit of what happened with this person, and this is our introduction to that. Where in Chumash does somebody literally fall to his face and then gather himself together again and was able to move on? And who was that person? I'll give you a hint. It says, Vayishma. The person heard something, something horrible, something unthinkable. And then it says, Vayipal Panav. He fell on his face. Who was the person? Vayishma Moshe Vayipal Panav. When Moshe faced the Korach uprising, the Parshas Korach, it says he heard what was going on and he fell on his face. He fell to the ground. Why did he fall to the ground? Rashi explains to us, Mipnei Machlokis, there was something so overwhelming for him, he didn't even have the equipment, in his opinion, to deal with it at that moment. He didn't feel ready to address it. He fell on his face. Rashi explains there was a Machlokis that was going on, this terrible rebellion. It's already what number Avera that the Bnei Yisrael were doing that Moshe has to bail them out? Tirchon Revi. It's the fourth time that they sinned, that they almost got destroyed. Moshe has to rescue them. Now you know that they tested Hashem how many times? It says in Mishnah and Avos. Because there are 10 major events where Bnei Yisrael challenged Hashem and angered him. But there are four of them that Hashem threatened to destroy, Chas v'Shalom. If you look at Rashi, he says they sinned by the eagle, by the golden calf. By Chal Moshe, Moshe supplicated to Hashem. B'mitzonanim, in Parshas Balotcha, they complained about the trip, and the fire of Hashem burned against them. It says, Moshe had to daven for them by Yispala Moshe, and the fire stopped. That was in Parshas Balotcha. And the eagle was in Kisisa. B'meraglim, in Parshas Shlach, by Yom Moshe El Hashem, B'shom HaMitzrayim. Moshe had said three different tefillos. It'll be a Chil Hashem if you destroy them, etc. He was able to evoke the Yud Gavamid of Sarachamim, and, or at least some of them, and he was able to save them. And finally, Machlokas of Korach, Yisrashlu Yadav. You ever hear the expression, Yisrashlus or Chalishus Hadas? He felt that his hands were weakened. He felt helpless. He felt impotent to be able to save Bnei Yisrael. It's a mashal, Rashi says. The Ben Melech, it's like the Bnei Yisrael are like the son of the king. We're like Hashem's children who sinned against the father. We sinned against Hashem. Who comes and saves and rescues the prince? It's a good friend of the prince, goes to his father and says, okay, come on, let him off, give him a break. One time, two times, three times, the fourth time already. Nisrashlu yaday oe vahu. That good friend feels incapable already. He said, Admosai atriach alamel. How long can I trouble the king to forgive them? Shemalo yikabel od mimeni. Maybe he won't accept from me anymore. What's happening here? Vayishma Moshe vayipal panav. He fell on his face because it seems a bit hopeless now. This is how it is with us in life. Sometimes we face what's in front of us. It just seems hopeless. I cannot deal with all this. In fact, it's even worse than that, as you might know. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, what did Moshe hear? This is where it really gets nasty. It says Moshe didn't just hear that they were rebelling against him. He heard something more horrible than that. Moshe heard that the men were warning their wives not to be alone with Moshe. Imagine such a thing, like it says in the Parsha of Sota. And the Yonasan ben Azil quotes that Gemara right here. And it says, he fell on his face, min kisufa, from embarrassment. Now, why they did it now and why they did it at all, it's the unthinkable. It's preposterous. But it happened. And without getting into that parsha, but Moshe fell on his face. It seems hopeless. What am I going to do with these people? I don't even know how to proceed. And this is an example we've talked about before, how there are three major areas of life. As the Rambam, when he summarizes Eov's predicament, his dilemmas, his impossible situations, the Rambam says, Ra'os gedolos u'techufos. Sometimes we suffer from major, horrible, terrible experiences, and they're one right after the other. They seem to be in quick succession. The mamono, sometimes it's a person's livelihood. It's his financial situation. Ubanav, it's his children, the relationships with his family, v'gufon, in his body. It could be illnesses, chas v'shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu is suffering this experience, and it seems like it's like an Eov type of experience. What am I supposed to do? But there's where Bitachon comes in. But where is it in the Parsha? This is a Sforno that's a gem of gems. A number of Sukkim later. Just like David HaMelech, it says, Vayitzchazek David Bashem Elokov, which sounds very familiar to you because we've mentioned it probably a dozen times in Siklag, in the end of Shmuel. And the Chafetz Chaim quotes it in the Sefer Machne Yisrael when he speaks to the soldiers on the battlefield. You fall apart and then you pull yourself together. Vayitzchazek David Bashem Elokov, he became strong and then was able to proceed. Okay, now that I've gotten myself back together, what should I do? And he asked the Urim V'Tumim, he strengthens himself with bitachon. The Chofetz Chaim said in Machne Yisrael. Well, guess what? Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. Look in Parshas Korach, a number of psukim later, Perek Tes 9, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Moshe says to the rebels, this is so overwhelming. This seems impossible, insurmountable. But no, there's a solution. There's a light in the end of the tunnel. I can wiggle out of this one. Lachain, therefore, after I see all the above, I see your agenda. You and your whole assembly, you rebels, Hanoadim, who are gathered up, Al Hashem, Al Hashem. What does it mean, Al Hashem? Simple explanation is, you're not rebelling against me, you are revolting against Hashem. But that's not how the Sforno learns it. The Sforno brings out a lesson of Bitachon, and the Sforno tells us, this is a paraphrase of a pasuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech said hundreds of years later, Tehillim Perek Nunhei, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Al Hashem. Does it sound familiar? Where in Tehillim does it say Al Hashem about Bitachon? Moshe was saying it here. Listen to the Sforno. Lachain, therefore, because this seems impossible, it's unthinkable, it's unimaginable, this is something nobody would ever do to anybody. The fact that you're rebelling against not only myself, it's the authority of Hashem, it's the Torah itself you're rebelling against. Lachain, therefore there's only one solution. Atavcha adasecha, you and your whole assembly, Hanoadim, who are gathered up, Ani Omer Lachem, I have something to tell you. I have some news for you. Al Hashem, De'u, you need to know, She'ani mashlich al Hashem Yahavi, that I send my burden, I cast my burden on Hashem. Understand what the Sforno is saying? Lachain, therefore, atah v'chal adasecha, this absolutely insurmountable, impossible situation that cannot be dealt with, it's true. I am not able to solve this problem. This is beyond me. It's over my head. Al Hashem, therefore, I have something to tell you. Al Hashem, I am not going to fight with you. I'm not going to be the one. De'u. No, Sha'ani Mashlich al Hashem Yehabi, that I cast my burden on Hashem. That's exactly what David HaMelech says in Tehillim Perek Nunei Chav Gimel. Hashlich al Hashem Yehabecha v'hu yichal kolecha. One of the main sukkim about Bitachon. You might say, wait a minute, Moshe Rabbeinu was paraphrasing David HaMelech. Of course, the idea was always here, the idea of Bitachon. David HaMelech wrote it in Tehillim. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying it here. You can't say he's paraphrasing a pasuk that David HaMelech wrote. David HaMelech wrote it later, but the idea has always been here. It's part of the creation. It's called Bitachon. We have to hear it again. When something's too hard for me, when something's impossible, when something is penetrating to the very depths of my abilities to move on and to tackle this problem, Al Hashem. No, I'm going to put it on Hashem. That is the only solution, because otherwise I'm stuck in the mud. I'm bogged down. Otherwise, I'll still be lying on my face. I'll still be Vayishma Moshe V'yipa Alpanav. Now, how is Hashem going to do this for me? Tegifahu Elbonenu. That Hashem is going to demand our disgrace, meaning Hashem is going to defend us, my brother Aaron and myself. I will not rise up against you at all. I'm not going to fight with you. This is not my fight. It's Hashem's fight. When I remembered this sforno, struck me like a lightning bolt. I realized this sforno cannot be ignored when we learn about Bitachon. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, the giant of the human being he was, the epitome of a human being who ever lived, he had human challenges at his level. This is the challenge that he had. He had people threatening him and his authority and the authority of Hashem and of the Torah itself. And there's only one solution. Lachain, it's al Hashem. It's only on Hashem. And this is the introduction to the next segment, Vad number 19. And we're going to see the Maseilas Yesharim actually also paraphrases this pasuk in Tehillim, Nun Hei Chaf Gimel, about casting our burden on Hashem. We have to acknowledge that our abilities end at a certain point. If Moshe Rabbeinu acknowledged that, if David HaMelech acknowledged that, then we certainly have to realize that. And with that hakdama, we're going to look at the Maseilas Yesharim much later in the Sefer. And in number 18 and number 17, I believe, we were discussing earlier in the Sefer, there are two places in Maseilas Yesharim the great Ramchal talks about Bitachon. And the second place is in Chassidus. Now, what is the definition of Chassidus? We know that Chassidus means going beyond the letter of the law, extending ourselves even more than we need to, more than we're required. Maseilas Yesharim tells us, if a person is lacking bitachon, if a person is worried and preoccupied, it will be absolutely impossible to become a chassid, to go beyond the letter of the law in any situation, to extend myself, to stretch anyway, because I am so preoccupied with what I'm preoccupied with. I'm so worried. I'm so anxious. I can't even move. I certainly can't go beyond what I'm supposed to do. Just doing what I have to do is hard enough. So what we have to do is, we have to employ Moshe Rabbeinu's technique. And I want to read the pasuk one more time. Lachain. You know the word lachain. Therefore, all the above taken into account. The fact that I tried to work this problem out. The fact that I'm trying to speak with you. I'm trying to negotiate. I'm trying to reason with you. We have relationships. Remember the three things that Rambam said in Moreh Nevuchim, the three types of problems in life that Eov had all three. Remember we said in the Gemara Bava Basra said Eov lo hoya lo nivra, and this is review for a minute, that when it says Eov never existed, it means Eov is a mashal for every person. That's how my Rosh Hashiva Rabbi Wein explained to us when we learned Eov with him. That's what the Gemara means in Bava Basra, the pashtus based on Rishonim. Every person can have these challenges. One of the greatest challenges is the relationships challenge. Moshe Rabbeinu has this relationship challenge with Klal Yisrael, with these people. This is cousin, it's Korach. He says, Lachain, if I tried everything, if I did my hishtadlus, because the next topic, and this is still in the intro phase, it's going to be about hishtadlus and then bitachon. If I did my hishtadlus, I'm trying to reason with you. Did you ever try to reason with somebody? Did we ever try to reason with our children or with friends or with relatives, anybody else, with an employer? And it doesn't go anywhere. We're at a brick wall. I did all that I could. Or I try to deal with my other problems, which could be financial, as you said before, or it could be with health. I did all that I could. And the Aruch HaShulchan's Lashon, Kulei Hai Ba'ulai. I did everything I could, and still I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through this. With my Yishtal, this isn't going to do it for me. Lachain, Moshe Rabbeinu says, therefore, Atav Chaladastacha, you and your whole assembly who are gathered up against me, Hanoadim, who are gathered here, Al Hashem, I want you to know something. I am going to cast my burden on Hashem because my efforts aren't going to do it for me. My efforts might be necessary, but they're not going to accomplish one. It just occurred to me, why didn't Moshe just have bitachon? Why did he have to tell them that he's going to have bitachon? It just occurred to me, this question. He has to tell them, I have a little speech for you. By the way, I tried everything and it didn't work. So therefore, I'm going to have bitachon. I'm going to cast my burden on Hashem. Couldn't he have done it without telling them that? I'm just asking. I'm putting the question out here. It just occurred to me now. Why not just have bitachon? You don't have to say you're going to have bitachon. Any ideas about that? Is it necessary, really, to express the fact that I'm going to have? Why? Why is that? Perfect. So the answer provided here, very brilliant, is that if things turn out okay at the end, and they're going to say, oh, that was the key to it. He had the bitachon. The rest of Klal Yisrael, they're going to observe some people getting swallowed up by the earth, other people getting burnt, and the rest of the people standing in awe. And they say, I wonder how all this happened. Moshe Rabbeinu announced it ahead. He called it. He said, Al Hashem, as the Sforno explained. De'u, I want you to know, she'ani mashlich al Hashem Yehavi, that I'm sending my brother Hashem. It's not enough to just do it. Most of the time, it's enough to do the thing. No, I'm announcing that this is my solution. This is my goal. This is the only way that I'm going to get through this crisis. I'm going to put my burden on Hashem. So it's not even enough to just think it sometimes. Sometimes we have to actually verbalize it. It might be that if it's in a relationship type of dilemma that we have, an entanglement, we have to say, I'm going to trust in Hashem that this is going to come out. If you think about it, talking with other people, it can inspire them, and then they'll be inspired and say, oh, it's the Bitachon that did it. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, it's Al Hashem. Masilas Yesharim says, to become a chassid, to do more than what we have to do, which sometimes, even though he says earlier in the Sefer, it's enough to be a tzaddik. Halavai, we'll all be a tzaddik. To become a chassid, come on, I can't expect that. Yeah, but there are times in life we have to go beyond the letter of the law. It's really necessary. So, but we won't be able to do that if we don't have bitachon. So I'm reading the Maseilas Yesharim in Chassidus. Ach mafsidei ha-chassidus. The Maseilas Yesharim needs to be dissected word for word. We're starting this piece today. The things that prevent, that hinder us from reaching chassidus. And chassid, by the way, he says, is nigzar mi-chesed. Nigzar means it's lashon of, it's derived, etymologically. The word chassid is like the word chesed also, meaning to go beyond the letter of the law and to do chesed beyond what's absolutely required and to do chesed for our neshama and to love ourselves and to love Hashem, that's all implicit in chassidus. But what prevents chassidus? What impedes us from reaching chassidus? Came hatrados, the hadagos. It's distractions and what are dagos? Worries. It's worrying. Imagine how disruptive worrying is. He says that worry stops us from becoming a chassid, which according to another piece of Maseilas Yesharim, it can also stop us from doing chesed. If I'm too worried, if I am bogged down by anxiety, I won't be as active. I won't be as productive. I won't be able to do. I'm depressed. I'm sleeping. Sometimes I say to myself, you know what? There's something bothering me. So therefore, I'm lying here trying to work it out. If I lie here for 3 more minutes, those 3 more minutes, I don't really need to be here because I could do something in those 3 minutes. So that means the daigos stopped me from doing chesed. It could be 3 minutes worth, however many minutes it is. Ki biyos ha-sechel tarud v'nechpaz b'dagosav v'vasakav. Because when a person's intellect, when the person's brain is distracted, now nechpaz means it's rushed, it's pressured. When a person feels pressure with its worries and with its asaka, with distractions, all types of things that we have to deal with, I have so much to take care of. I have to do all this stuff. I can't do all of it. You're right. E'ef shalo, because we need Hashem. E'ef shalo lefanos el ha'yishponenus hazeh. If a person is so distracted and worried, look at all the different words that are used here. Trados, that means a distraction. Daigos, that means a worry. I don't know if things are going to be okay or not. That's daigos. But we know that's hevel, because we know that Hashem is taking care of us. And nechpaz is another word he uses, which means pressured or rushed, like chipazon. Do you ever feel constricted? I'm in an emotional straitjacket. It's impossible. Lefanos el ha'hisbonus hazeh. My mind is full of that. All those worries, I won't be able to turn to the proper concentration. In order to get close to Hashem, we need to concentrate. We really need to focus. I can't focus. Why can't I focus? I can't focus because I'm worried. So what I have to do is I have to analyze myself. This is all for myself. The Maseilas Yesharim says, I have to self-analyze and introspect and say, am I worried? If I'm worried, that's what I'm thinking about. If I'm not worried, then I can think about something else, something more productive than being worried. By the way, I was thinking to myself, another reason not to worry, I'm going to think back all the times I was worried about something in life. The worry, that emotion itself, what did it accomplish? What benefits did I get from the worrying emotion? Did it benefit me? Does anybody feel that worrying benefited me? No. That's an emotion. If I'm emotionally worried, I didn't get anything from it. Now, you might say, wait a minute. The Gemara said, Ashri Adam Mafache Tam. You remember that? Happy is a person who is always afraid. But what did the Gemara say about that? We learned the Gemara here. Ha'huba Divrei Torah Ksiv. That's about Torah. Meaning, I am allowed to be a little bit anxious. Maybe I won't remember my learning if I don't review it. Maybe if I don't learn enough halakha, I won't know halakha. So I better go learn halakha. I'm not going to be emotionally preoccupied and worried and distressed and exasperated. I'm just going to do what I need to do because I have a concern that if I don't do it, I won't accomplish what I need to do. That's the goal, is to kind of be tied to the intellectual part of it, not the emotional part. So the Masilas Yesharim says, if I am distracted and worried and pressured, then I cannot turn properly. I can't direct myself to Hisponanus, which is this contemplation and concentration that I'm supposed to have, introspection. Without the proper concentration and contemplation, a person will never be able to reach chassidus, which is piety, which is being close to Hashem, doing chesed, because he explained earlier that chesed is part of the word chassidus. I won't be able to reach that level. And what if a person already reached it? Now there are ups and downs. So when we were learning about this on Shabbos, we said there are two different versions of the text. We're going to look at one at a time. Let's say a person has licked the problem temporarily. I cleared my mind. I worked it out. I'm not worried about this. I've done everything I can, and I know Hashem's going to take over. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lachain, therefore, since I did everything I can, Al Hashem, I'm going to pass my burden on Hashem. I reached that level, and we already know that everybody has ups and downs. If I start to worry again, then I am going to go back, even on I'm on a higher level now, I'm a different person because I already grew, but still, in his ego, if he reached chassidus, a high level of serving Hashem, what will happen is the distractions will mavriach, we've talked about it on Shabbos, will chase away the intellectual thought process, like the lesson of boreach. It will kind of like chase out of my mind what I'm supposed to be thinking, my proper concentration, arvavos oso, and they will confuse the person's intellect. The enum manichos oso is chazek, and they do not allow the person to become strengthened, the yira in fear of Hashem, of Ava and love of Hashem, because suddenly I am distracted and worried again. And you might say, well, how many times a day is this going to have to happen to me? It's a process that we always have to work on, and it develops over time. But when the worry floods my mind again, then I'm again far away from the proper thoughts I'm supposed to have. They don't allow the person and his intellect to become strong, the year of Abba, and fear of Hashem, and love Hashem, and everything else that has to do with being pious, being close to Hashem, kasher zacharti, as I mentioned. So what did the Masilas Yesharim just describe? He talked about havracha. What is havracha? It's chasing. He said, when I get distracted and I get worried, then those thoughts flood my mind and they kind of push out of my mind the thoughts that I had in there, which caused me to cling to Hashem. Then again, I feel I'm far away from Hashem again. So then I have to kind of work on myself and self-analyze and say, I don't need to be worried. Because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? That's how we started out today. By Yishma Moshe, by Yipol HaPanav. First, he fell on his face. And it says he fell on his face because I don't know what I'm going to do now. How can I do anything for these people? And the second shot was from the Gemara Sanhedrin, Perichelet. He's embarrassed. He can't look them in the face. That's why he's falling on his face, because they suspected him of immorality, Chas v'Shalom, unthinkable. But afterwards, he turns around and says, now I'm going to get up and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to trust in Hashem. When a person does that, in that second, the person causes all those distractions to vanish. And that's what we have to work out in our minds. Hashem gives us the brain to be able to work on this. Name it, it's going to happen again later. I'll get worried again later. Then I'll work on it again. That's Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vekam. Many, many times. Every time I do it, we already talked about this, I'm a new person. I went to a new madrig. It's not the old me again worrying. I'm a new person because I overcame that. I was miskabed. That's the Gemara, based on the Gemara Sukkah. So therefore, the Masilas Yesharim tells us, Gemara in Shabbos Daf Lamed, Chazal said, "Ein hashchina shora, lo mitoch atzlus, lo mitoch atzlus." This Gemara hopefully will look in greater depth in Mirat Hashem later on. But you don't find the Shechina dwelling when a person is depressed. The pasuk says, "Oz v'chedva b'mekomo." In Hashem's place, there's strength and joy. That means when we're strong and we're vibrant, productive, and active, yes, we need to take breaks sometimes, but if this is my attitude, that's where we find Hashem. It's with the person who is upbeat and positive and productive and just keeps pushing on no matter what. Because I'm here, we already talked about it in one of the other Vod, gatherings. If we're alive, ma'is onin adam chai, the pasuk in Eicha, geber al chatav. If a person's alive, there's nothing to complain about. I'm alive and I'm here. That's not an accident. That means Hashem has, he has a job for me. He has many jobs for me, and I can do all that. So the Mishnah Sharm says, if you want to find the Shechina, it's only with simcha. The Gemara says simcha shal mitzvah, not through atzvos, not through depression. There's no Shechina there if the atzvos is there. So we want to bring the Shechina back. We don't want to chase the Shechina away. Chas v'shalom. The remaining few minutes, I just want to discuss the other textual version in the Maseilas Yesharim. Very interesting how there are two versions in the text. He said that distractions, mavrichos esaseicha, they chase away, they cause the intellect to flee. Very interesting terminology. Mavrichos esaseicha. It's almost a little bit awkward to fit that into the Lashon. But ma'arbevos esaseicha, they kind of mingle it, they mix it up. By the word, you know, the word erev, for nighttime or evening? We know it's a lesson of mixture. Because again, the Arab is, when, in order to have darkness, there has to be some kind of mix-up. There has to be a mixture. The darkness mixes into the light. That's why we're supposed to see illumination. We're supposed to work toward illumination and clarity, not toward darkness and confusion. Irva was also a lesson of confusion, and it's related to darkness. Confusion and darkness and suffix. We said that the very first year. Suffix and Amalek is all the same. We're supposed to not be in the mixed-up state. It's supposed to be in a clear state and push ourselves to that as much as possible. But the other text, you might be familiar, and you might happen to know what it says. Instead of Mavrichos Esaseichel, in the Eshkol version, it says Machrichos Esaseichel. So what does that mean? It says that the distractions and worries push, they compel. The R version is with a vase, Mavrichos. The other one is Machrichos. Whichever Maseilas Yesharim you have, it's going to have one or the other, I'm sure, unless there's a third one out there, I doubt it. Machrichos esaseichel, they compel, they push the intellect. A lashon of hechrich. So how is that different? Because what's the difference between mavriach and machriach? Mavriach means it literally chases away our ability to think straight. Machrichos esaseichel means it pushes us into a corner. It has the same effect, but it kind of like constricts us, like a boa constrictor, and I can't think straight, and I can't have simcha that I'm supposed to have. So the Maseilas Yesharim, I'm going to summarize what we saw today. The Maseilas Yesharim, in the next paragraph, is going to tell us, so what's the antidote for all these distractions and worries and preoccupations? It's going to be bitachon. He says it in black and white. It's bitachon. That's the way that we get through it. Bitachon is we have to work out in our minds, we have to realize that our abilities and our efforts, they're good and effective up to a certain point, but we cannot accomplish this ourselves by any means. And many times we think we're doing it ourselves. We're not. And we have to realize that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Lachain, it's Al Hashem. I'm going to put my burden on Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who was facing, as we said before, the most bizarre, unthinkable type of rebellion you could ever imagine, and what they said about him, all the allegations and the accusations and the agenda that they had, it's something no one would ever imagine. I don't know how he made it through that. We do have to mention that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I realize now my solution is bitachon. I have to put it on Hashem. And David HaMelech said, Hashlech al Hashem yuhavecha. Send that burden on Hashem. Behu yichav kolecha. And this can happen to us many times over the day. And I want to quote my Rebbe, and then we're going to end off today with my Rebbe that I had in Beis Medrash, Rabbi Avraham Maimon Shlita. He once said to me, you know, every day I get up in the morning, I know I have a lot of things I have to do every day. I have a lot. And he's a Rebbe, and he has a family, and has everything he has to deal with. He said, I have no idea how it's all going to work out, how I'm going to do it all, but I know that it's going to. Because you know what Rabbi Maimon understands? That he can't do it himself. It's way too much for anybody to do by himself. So as the Rambam told us, when it comes to all those three types of experiences in life, which has to do with our money, our livelihood, our finances, and our relationships, especially with children and family members, and with our health, the only way to make it through all that is be talking in Hashem, Hashlech Hashem Yahavacha Bohuchal Kalecha, and Amir Hashem will continue next time how the Maseilas Yesharim looks at the positive side of how to chase away those things that chased away our positive thinking. If we chase those away, then we'll have that positive thinking back. It'll be restored to us, and we'll be talking in Hashem. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a wonderful Rosh Chodesh, everybody.